quick because this has been a long episode, but power rankings, top five chapters of this book so far.
Okay.
How are we going to do this? I'm thinking we'll go one by one. We'll go bottom to top. So fifth favorite chapter to first favorite chapter. And then if you have something that doesn't match up with me, we'll talk about it. And I'll exclaim either I'll start to get a sense that you don't have my favorite chapter on your list.
Uh-huh.
Or my favorite chapter is too low on your list. And then we'll have to fight it out.
I bet there's going to be way less overlap than you think.
Really? Okay, we'll see.
Well, yeah.
Fine. Well, let's see. All right, let's get into it. What's your fifth favorite chapter from The Fellowship of the Ring?
I think Shadow of the Past.
Dude, it didn't make my list.
Okay.
Why is it on yours?
Well, because, I mean, it sets the stage.
Yeah.
It's like the history chapter. I know we have a lot of history chapters, but it's the real setup.
I mean, Tolkien said it was the crux of the book, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we quoted? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I actually forgot about that, but that's perfect justification for why it's number five on my list.
Okay, that's fair. My number five is, it's almost kind of sad that this is the fifth favorite of mine. The Bridge of Khazad-dûm.
Okay.
So that's where, you know, Gandalf fell. So,
yeah.
All right. Gandalf versus Balrog, most exciting part of the book, hands down, period. That's not a debate.
Yeah.
Okay. And I liked the whole chapter because it was fast and it was thrilling and it was chaotic and it had all the epic language that I love and it gets me pumped, like got the blood going. But it only came in at fifth. Is that my favorite part of the movie? Absolutely. But my favorite parts of the movie are just so much different than the books that this only comes out number five.
Okay. Okay. I actually did not have Bridge of Khazad-dûm in my...
Really?
Dude,
this is gonna be different.
I know. I did like that chapter, and I do recall being super engrossed, but something about, like, thinking back on the chapters, it's almost like it's so dark in my memory that I don't, like, I kind of want to put it to the side.
Dude, Clifford, I think you put, like, a lot of thought into this, and more thought than I expected. I'm excited. Okay. Well, all right, you went first last time, so I'll go first this time for number four. All right, number four, I'm going... In the House of Tom Bombadil.
Okay.
So that was the sitting in his house, and that was like... I remember in the episode I said it kind of felt like a retreat, you know, like in high school, like the religious retreats or whatever. Felt like a really cool retreat. It was like the perfect pit stop you could ever want and hope for, even though you weren't expecting it at all.
Uh-huh.
And Tom was super cool, super fun, super exciting, definitely weird, super interesting to just... have this detour, and I thought that was the whole thing was just an experience.
Yes.
Like, I can just leave it at that. That's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, four. I've got Flight to the Ford.
Ooh, dude, didn't actually make my list. Did not make my list.
Okay, I feel, looking back at the chapters, Flight to the Ford, similar to Bridge of Khazad-dûm.
Yep.
You know, we mentioned the cyclical nature of Tolkien's plots in certain ways, like how we've got patterns of like rest stops, trekking days, conversations, and then like action-packed sequences. So Flight to the Ford, I did in place of Bridge to Khazad-dûm, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that was for similar reasons. Like everything just it just goes downhill or accelerates really, really quickly. And the imagery is really cool. Like them flying through the trees and shining light. Yeah.
Although from start to finish, though, that chapter was much longer than
That's true. I guess what I think of as the Flight to the Ford is probably the second half of the actual chapter.
Yeah. And I mean, that's fair of you to do because this is just your opinion. So if that's what you remember, I think that's fine. Yeah. Okay. What's your number three?
Number three is this chapter.
Ooh. This chapter did not make my list, even though...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a top 10, but it did not make my top five.
Yeah. It was a weird one, but after reading it, I really did feel like, you know, like kind of like I just said, you get so much clarity from it. And yeah, it's hard to avoid seeing it as like a super focal moment for the entire story. Like, if you had to pare down the book into, like, just a handful of chapters, this would have to be one of them.
You're right. Yep.
Which I'll say probably overall my list is not based on that same logic.
Yeah, I mean, this was yeah, and I get what you're saying, especially because, well, just the length of this episode, like, I mean, I think I even trimmed down notes I had on the Boromir for the conversation. You know, like, I mean, it's like, this is like the richest part for themes in Lord of the Rings. You know, we hit so many major ones. We even introduced like the new one with the Theory of Courage. Like, that's, we have not talked about that yet. And that's just another big theme that we'll see for the next two books. And like, I waited to reveal it until now, or like, I don't know. It wasn't a good opportunity to reveal it until now. But yeah, I agree. Okay. My number three, Three's Company. So this is chapter three. So this is when they're setting out from Bag End. They're leaving the Shire, and it's Frodo, Sam, Merry, and Pippin. And nostalgia, not an all-time high, but very high. You know, and like, if there's one really big theme from the Fellowship of the Ring, I think they hit nostalgia so hard in this book. And I really love it. But it's also exciting, too, because it's like, all right, finally, we're going to go on this quest. You know, we just truck through 60 or 70 pages already, you know, of history and setup about Bilbo's party and everything. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, all right, now we're getting underway. It's kind of like going to college is what I kind of felt like. Like, yeah. it definitely feels like you're going back to school kind of year. You know?
That chapter is sort of like the, like, heavy on nostalgia, but also one of the most realistic.
Yeah.
Like, from there, it only gets more fantastical.
Like, and I think it's like perfect first steps of a journey, you know? And I loved the descriptions of the Shire at night. Thought it was awesome. And then they have the feast.
I agree, that was cool.
And they have the feast with Gildor and the elves. And that just, I mean, that really blows me away. Like, those are up there for my favorite scenes of the whole book.
Yeah, that's good. It's good.
Okay. All right, I'll go number two. Number two, Many Meetings. So the first chapter of book two, where Frodo wakes up in Rivendell. Love this. Victory feast. So, like, everybody, good vibes. High vibes. Like, peak vibes. You know, like, we just celebrated this great thing. This is awesome. Right. Everybody's all in one place, having fun. All my friends together. And, again, also, this is around tide, probably, for peak, you know, the wonder of the elves. It's on full display here, but like, this is tied probably with some Lothlorien chapters for like the pinnacle of how cool elves are, you know, like when they're in the Hall of Fire, which, again, that's up there for favorite room of all time. And then they're gearing up, and you're hearing all sorts of old stories and stuff, like about Arendelle and everything. And it's like, dude, this is why I love the books. Like, this is the authentic crap that makes it real for me, you know, and like, this is why I can get on board with this. And then you're also getting the sense right away, because this is the first chapter of the second book, that book two is going to dwarf book one. And I'm all about it. Like, let's go to town. Like, this is going to be such a cool adventure. Like, this book two is the Fellowship of the Ring. Book one is probably called, like, Return of the Shadow or something. But, like, book two should specifically be called the Fellowship of the Ring, because that's what this was.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good explanation. In my memory, I was like, yeah, Many Meetings. But, no, you're right. That was a super solid chapter. Did not make my top five.
Ooh, it didn't, huh? All right, what's your number two?
Lorien. But I guess I did not clarify. Wait.
Which Lorien chapter?
Yeah, I didn't really clarify.
No, probably you have to clarify it. This is very important. There's three chapters, Clifford.
Okay, one of the first two. Okay. I initially was like the first one, but maybe more the second one.
The Mirror of Galadriel?
Less so the actual mirror, but I just like Lorien a lot.
Okay.
So it's kind of like right on the border between the first and the second chapter for Lorien.
Dude, you gotta pick. This is power rankings.
Fine.
We need some sort of definition.
I think I'll go Mirror of Galadriel.
Okay, that one did not make my list.
Okay. Did you go? Is your top one Lorien? The first one?
My number one is Lothlorien.
Okay.
Yes. Because the entire thing was cool descriptions.
Yes, I agree.
Like the entire thing. I mean, it wasn't all quite about Lothlorien itself. Because, like, even the dwarf description of Miramir that Gimli wanted to look into, absolutely awesome. 10 out of 10, you know? And then, like, there's the the walking across the river on the ropes, mm-hmm. awesome. You know, like that was, yeah. and especially what they're getting at, like this is some Garden of Eden, you know, return to paradise. Like this was the peak of nostalgia, and this is the high point of elves. We haven't met Galadriel yet until Mirror Galadriel, mm-hmm. but like still, we're seeing the effects of what she's produced almost single-handedly.
Yeah,
and I would say this is the place I would like to go most in Middle Earth.
Yeah, I would agree that this outshines Mirror of Galadriel. I think I picked the wrong one.
Okay, well then what's your number one?
Tom Bombadil. For
similar
reasons, I recognize that he's a total curveball relative to the overall plot of the story. But yeah, I love the setting and the descriptions, and there's the quality of the setting that Tolkien's able to convey, I think is just like totally superb. And it's similar in Lorien, but it's different. It's almost more realist in Lorien, in spite of how magical Lorien sounds. Like, it's like he's in a dream for Tom Bombadil, and yeah, they're so cool. Plus, it was one chapter. All of these chapters, you know, like I'm always really intrigued by like trying to fit everything into the larger worldview. Like,
yeah,
I love that Tolkien leaves the reader to puzzle through things on their own, and some of that is like there's backstory and there's Silmarillion stories that you can read and reference, but there's other stuff that he just throws out there that kind of you have to solve for yourself, which I find really engaging. Tom Bombadil's chapter was probably like one of the most acute versions of that, where it's like I don't really feel like you can pin it down, even if you study a lot of the backstory. It's like it's like still a mystery.
Right. Yeah. You know?
So it left me with the most questions probably of any chapter, which I thought was really cool.
Do you like its placement towards the beginning, or would it be cool if it was 2/3 of the way through the series or 2/3 of the way through this book?
I could see that. It is really early. Like it makes it feel less important because it happened so early.
Well, like I definitely remember reading it the first time through. I don't think I liked Tom Bombadil at all because I was like, "Who the hell is this guy? Uh-huh. This is dragging out the stories. This is 3 chapters uh-huh. with this dude, and I don't get any of it. Let's just get to the cool parts that I liked of the movies."
Right.
I was like, again, I was novice when I was reading it first time because it's like, no, the coolest parts of the books are not the coolest parts of the movies, mm-hmm. as evident of what we just said in this whole conversation. Yes. Our favorite parts are not the best in the movies, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, Bombadil, just that really is kind of, I know that's not descriptive at all, but I just say like that was an experience. That was something else that almost didn't even belong to this world.
Yeah. Do you think it belongs later in the story?
It could have been interesting. I like it where it is now that
it has obviously some similarities to Lorien. But given the sense of impending darkness that's like riding over the whole story, that's increasing over time. Like by the time we hit Lorien, we're aware of like the evil that's out there, and then Lorien's set in that context, and like we understand Lorien is the island in that storm, and I think if the Bombadil chapter was placed somewhere around there, it would have to have a similar feeling. Like it would have to be contextualized like Lorien was,
yeah.
as being like an island resisting that, and it couldn't have the same like veil of like mystery and total lightness that it does earlier in the story. Like it's a little bit more free from worldly concerns.
Yeah, which I think that would have been cool if that was like right before the big finale, so like towards the end of the second book, on the verge of, you know, the finale and Return of the King. Like that, okay. That might be the only spot that was better, or this works because it was out of context, which is strange because it really just is out of context. Like how does Bombadil fit in? Like Tolkien intentionally said, like, I don't know, that's fine. And so it's like, well, then I guess it's good that you did that early, because if this happened towards the end, then like that would start to register my bullshit meter, I'd say, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas it was the perfect steps beyond the Shire at the time, even though it could be wonky cool if it was deep, deep, deep in before the finale, you know, like,
yeah, yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, only other thing I think about your list, you pick Shadow of the Past over Council of Elrond. You went for the history chapter and you picked the, I don't know, the more intimate one, but the less hardcore history stuff.
Yeah, I guess I'm maybe like, maybe I have like an inherent aversion to what I already assumed to be like the baseline big deal chapters, you know, like Council of Elrond and Bridge of Khazad-dûm, clearly pivotal points. And maybe I, in my mind, like going through this, I was like, well, of course, like that's kind of like, no one, you don't need to make a case for that being important, but I'm less intrigued by them.
Yeah, I could see that too. I mean, because I didn't pick either of those chapters for my list. And that might just more so be like, if I want some sort of history lesson like that, it's like, dude, I got the whole Merlin. Like, let's dive in, you know, like, or like Unfinished Tales or something. It's like, I get my fix there, you know, like it's cool to have it in context here, but it's just like, okay, when it comes to a very detailed novel,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't, the history parts is like, yes, I like to learn it, but I don't need it in the context of this story.
Shadow of the Past is also much more personable than Council of Elrond. Council of Elrond is like the closest thing to like a legal proceeding in the story.
Well, I would say the Shadow of the Past is more intimate, especially that Frodo decides like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, take on the burden of the ring towards Lothlorien, or I mean towards Rivendell at the very least. Probably he kind of maybe had like a hint that he was going to go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, but the Council of Elrond though is like, that was a cool chapter. Like, let's be clear, that's in the top 10, but it just wasn't in the top 5.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Clifford, we're back again.
Welcome back.
So this is, well, okay, so I don't quite know what it is. This is the ending for either the breaking of the fellowship or our mini episode where we ranked power ranked the chapters.
You don't know which one we're ending right now?
I haven't decided where I'm going to put it. I think we're only going to do one ending. So okay. I haven't finished editing either of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so how you been?
Been good. Technically, stay at home. Seems like it's coming to an end, but doesn't really seem like things are going to change here for a couple weeks at least, if not a couple months. Other than that, doing well. How about you?
I've been pretty good. Yeah. I don't know. Do anything fun for the weekend?
No. Yeah. Last weekend was kind of boring, frankly. I'm hoping to go hiking this weekend. Went to a protest last weekend.
Did you watch the Lord of the Rings reunion cast thing?
No, I haven't gotten a chance yet. Zoom
call? It was actually, I was surprised. It was actually pretty good. Like, the first 10 minutes were kind of corny and dumb, but after that it picked up. I was kind of impressed, and I actually learned, like, new stuff that I didn't know before.
Okay.
So definitely worth checking out.
It's a reunion of all the actors?
Yeah, on a Zoom call.
Just for fun.
Some other actor, Josh Gad or whatever, he's not part of Lord of the Rings, but he's just been doing reunions of different casts of stuff. So that was, I don't know, one of a set, but that's the only one I care about, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lord of the Rings cast and the Downton Abbey cast, those are my two favorite casts of people. They're genuinely good people, and they're funny. and they have excellent chemistry, like, off the camera, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, well, so anyways, I think this is our last episode for a while, unless we got the little power rankings episode coming out soon. Maybe this is at the end of that one, though. So anyways, this should be our last episode for a while. We got other ones banked up, but I still got to edit them. And, yeah, plus, like, releasing these each week is, like, hard to keep up with those deadlines.
Yeah, it's a tight ship you're running. But congratulations. Yeah. This is some sort of ending.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, this, like, when we actually recorded it, it felt really good. Like, I truly felt like we were over the hump, like past halfway, because we did the whole Hobbit book and now we've done the whole Fellowship book, so we only have two books left. But yeah, it felt like an accomplishment to me. Mm-hmm. Now that we're back kind of in the heat of it, already doing Two Towers, I don't know, but you know, maybe it'll feel good when I finally release this whenever this goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's about all I got. Well, yeah, anyways, there's going to be a break for a while. I don't think it'll be too much more than like a month because we got so much stuff banked up that we should be ready to go. But, I mean, we'll see. You know, I think just subscribe and the stuff will just come to your feed anyways. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to worry about it that way. But, yeah, I think that should be good for now. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're halfway. Thanks for helping us get here. We're having fun with it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I am. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. But
I'm also happy to be halfway through it.
Definitely.
I'll say that as well.
It feels like a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
Probably the listeners feel pretty accomplished just having listened to all this.
Yeah. These are dense episodes, and they're long. Mm-hmm. Like, we struggle to keep it short. But, yeah, so on that note, let's not keep extending just this ending by itself. So we'll end it here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for more in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, y'all.